I think the biggest change in my faith as a child versus my faith as an adult came in my understanding of the Holy Spirit. When I grew up in the church, and it's true of any of you who are older, the three persons of the Blessed Trinity were Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I think it was probably right around the Second Vatican Council, that's when most of these changes seemed to take place, that we started referring to the third person of the Trinity as the Holy Spirit. And of course, it has a much more comfortable sound, certainly in today's vernacular. We talk about spirit-filled prayer or a spirit-guided journey, and it wouldn't quite sound the same, a ghost-filled prayer or a ghost-led journey. But the actual appearance of what we now identify as the Holy Spirit was so powerful, so spectacular, really. And of course, we know the Spirit comes in much more moderated ventures, but here on this birthday of the church, the apostles, having answered Jesus' request to stay where they were in Jerusalem, when every impulse must have been to get home to Galilee and start fishing and return to a normal life, they had gathered in preparatory prayer in the temple, leading up to this encounter on what was a Jewish feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. That's why there were so many of the Jews in Jerusalem at that time. But they stayed there, and in the upper room, we have the two special effects, the roar of the wind. And of course, that was what drew people to the place where the apostles were. And the delicate parting of the tongues of fire residing above each of them. And what we most associate with this particular spirit-filled beginning of our church is what we call the gift of tongues. The 50-cent word for it is glossolalia, but it's the gift of tongues. Some of you may have the gift. Some of you may know people who have the gift. I have to say that I've never worshiped in a Pentecostal church, but I have been in Catholic charismatic groups and heard things proclaimed in tongues, people speaking languages they had not spoken before. I've never spoken in tongues. I've tried on a couple of occasions, had people pray over me. I think there's a real power to the prayer in tongues. But I knew someone close to me who did, and that was my mother. And she was always very, very private with that. She wouldn't do that in front of anybody. But it happened once when I was a priest and I was over visiting her house. She didn't know I'd slipped in the door. She was in her room praying, as she usually did. Having been to Israel already, I recognized that there was an Arabic sound to what she was praying there. And I've been, as I say, to charismatic meetings. I've heard people pray in tongues, sing in tongues. And yet they call it the least of the gifts. Partly because in a practical way, how do you apply this? You can have someone who speaks in tongues, someone who interprets tongues. But in truth, in terms of the day-to-day advance of the church, there isn't all that much gained by that. Now, I used to think, I had this misconception when I was a child, that the people that are listed there, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, all of these various nationalities, were hearing someone who was speaking the same thing, but they were hearing it in their language. And that would definitely defy the natural law in a big way. But if each of the apostles, and I think it works out exactly right the number of apostles and the number of nationalities that are listed here, if they were each independently speaking a language that groups of the people there were able to hear, then that was indeed miraculous. And in a way, it addressed the Old Testament understanding of the Tower of Babel, where in their pride, people tried to build something that reached to the heavens. They were speaking just one language at that time, but then the Lord confused the speech. But now everybody was understanding again, and I highly encourage you to read the Acts of the Apostles, where you can see what Peter and the other apostles are saying to the people. And it is all about Christ crucified and risen, and the fact that we are his people. I thought it was interesting in the gospel today, when we talk about the expression of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the apostles had an experience of the Holy Spirit already. When they went out two by two, and they healed, and they drove out demons, that was the Holy Spirit at work of them. But even they, I think, were stunned by the events of Pentecost. But interesting, when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, even though he knew they were going to have the same power to heal the sick and to drive out the demons, it says he breathes on them, a typical way of inviting the Holy Spirit, breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall set aside, they are set aside." And of course, Jesus is basically saying there that for all of the power of the physical healings, nothing is more important to humanity than the forgiveness of sins. That opportunity to walk away with a feeling of being cleansed in our heart, what a difference it can make. But I don't want to leave the pulpit without talking about the second reading. So important for us to recognize that we together, all of us, are the body of Christ. He uses the example, Paul does, of our own human bodies. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free persons, we were all given to drink of one Spirit. And see, I've seen this parish act as one to really fulfill the Pentecost goal, to recognize that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, different forms of service, but the same Lord. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. And so, lest you think, well, I've never prayed in tongues, lest you think I've never preached from a pulpit, know that so many talents reside in this body of Christ here. People have a marvelous gift of hospitality and make such a difference at funeral lunches. People that step in not only as school teachers, but CCD teachers and pass along the faith. People that maintain our beautiful grounds here. People that are involved in the scripture study, involved in prayer in a very regular and powerful way. So many different gifts, and we don't all have the same gifts. That's the beauty of it. Some things I just don't do well. Many things I don't do well. And yet, I know that what I do, I offer for the community as a whole, that we all might grow in grace and in love. So happy birthday. The church is, what would it be, 33? I think, well, I'll have to figure that math out later, but if in fact Jesus died and rose and Pentecost came right after, that would have been 33 AD, so we'll subtract 2018 from that. And in any case, we recognize that we are all proudly part of the body of Christ, and each of us has an indispensable role. And we ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and guide us as we continue on in that role.